Welcome to The Confessional. I'm Mike Moran. Tell us your deepest, your creepiest, your funniest. Confess to us. No one's listening. Welcome to The Confessional, everybody. This is Mike Moran, and I am here with special guest co-host, my friend, Baltimore comedian and musician, Marco Gonzalez. How are you, Marco?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, man.
A little bit closer to the mic, my friend.
Better?
There you go. We need bad, terrible posture makes for good audio.
Oh, that's, man, what we say around here. You're preaching to the choir, man.
Marco, you recently released a single, correct?
I did, yes. My single is called The Luck, and it's available on, I think, all streaming platforms that I'm aware of.
Okay.
So your Spotify.
And what kind of music is it?
It's a very stripped down folk acoustic Americana,
cool,
type deal.
Yeah. All right.
I think I mostly used to playing in like rock bands and stuff like that, but I think starting in the pandemic.
Right.
I just kind of was itching to, sure, to do something that I didn't have to have a bunch of other people around for.
Absolutely. That's my whole life. That's awesome. Well, we have a guest today as well. I'm not sure which one of you is the co-host and which one of you is the guest, honestly. Maybe Ashley's the co-host since you haven't been here before, Marco.
I'm just along for the ride, man.
Well, nonetheless, we will be discussing today spooky places, spooky locations. Mm-hmm. You have some good stories to tell. We will be joined, of course, by good friend of The Confessional. I don't know if she's co-hosting. I don't know if she's guesting. I don't know what the hell she's doing. But will you please welcome Ashley Ann Rutledge, everyone.
Ashley, hey!
Hey! How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be chatting with you. And this is a fun topic.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Ashley, what's going on? You, of course, are an artist, a visual artist. And where can everybody find your work right now?
Yeah, well, so right now, I still have a profile on fineartamerica.com. If you just look up my name, you'll be able to find my art there. Of course, Instagram. I post my artwork on Instagram, and that's at catmoms with a Z _. And sometimes I show my work on TikTok. For however long TikTok's going to be around.
Right.
And that's at catmoms again with the _. So, yeah.
All right.
That's
awesome.
Fun.
Everybody check that stuff out. We are talking spooky locations, Ashley.
Yeah.
Why don't we jump to Marco first and have him tell us a little bit about his spooky location?
So I think the one I had mentioned briefly on Facebook was the Lizzie Borden house.
Yes.
And that was kind of
Who would have thought the Lizzie Borden house would be spooky? you go there, you don't even know that it's a thing. You just think it's like a bed and breakfast.
I mean, yeah, if you don't know the history, sure. I mean, it...
But you knew the history.
I didn't know the history. Yeah, that was a road trip my wife and I took throughout New England, and we went to a couple of different... Like, you know, my wife and I are super into that kind of stuff,
yeah.
So we were... we were checking out places like everywhere, Massachusetts, Maine.
Well, tell us about the Lizzie Borden house. Why was that spooky?
The reason that was so spooky for me is because, you know, I'm kind of middle of the road with all this stuff. You know, sometimes I kind of believe in you know, supernatural,
sure,
paranormal, all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes it's just a bit of a laugh,
right,
for me. And so it really depends on the day and the situation. And that
sometimes
one,
you feel like a critical thinker, sometimes you don't. The old Almond Joy issue.
And that day, you know, we got there. It was like first thing in the morning. We were too poor to stay at the Lizzie Borden house. It's pretty expensive to stay there.
Really?
I don't remember the prices.
Prices go down when someone gets murdered at a place.
Well, for the right murder,
right? Yeah,
it can be very marketable.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so we got there first thing in the morning. And the reason I think it was so creepy for me personally is because I never actually made it inside. So we got there. We're parked across the street. I'm feeling like totally normal. I'm excited to get in there and, you know, just walk around, see the history, all that kind of stuff. I get out of the car and I start walking up to the house and I just start feeling off. Like,
has that happened before?
That has happened one other really significant
time. When you tried to stay at a Days Inn.
That's right. Might have been a Days Inn that Ted Kaczynski stayed in or something like that. So I'm walking across the street and all of a sudden I start feeling sick, like sick to my stomach. I start feeling anxious. I just start feeling like the air just starts feeling like heavier.
Right, right.
Like, I think it was, when did we go? This was like early fall, so it wasn't super hot, but it almost felt like it was super, super dense.
Interesting. And it had that kind of that humidity, like discomfortable feel.
It was the thickness.
Help me out, Jimmy.
That's a word now.
Yeah, very discomfortable. It had the thickness of humidity, but it was also like somehow also cold and dry.
Yeah, also chilling, you might say.
Yes. And so by the time we got to the front door, I was doubled over a little bit, like trying to catch my breath and all that kind of stuff. And I was like,
you can sit down for, they wouldn't let you like relax for a minute.
I hadn't even talked to anybody there yet.
You're walking in like passing out.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I think I don't know what's going on with me. I think I need to sit down. And so I walk back to the car and it was almost like exactly in reverse. Like as I'm tracing the same way back,
oh my God.
Like the symptoms just start alleviating in real time.
You're like Homer going back into the bushes.
Yes. Yeah. I just like, I tiptoed back into the bushes and by the time I got to my car, I was feeling fine. And I sat down.
Wow. Maybe it's just your car makes you feel really, maybe your car has like really great vibes.
I mean, it was a Hyundai. It was all right.
Nothing wrong with a Hyundai.
These days.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. So did you guys, you didn't stay there?
No, we didn't. We were just going to go and do a tour.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't have like reservations or anything like that. Like at the time it was like, you could just walk in. Yeah. So we didn't like waste any money or anything like that.
Right.
But
what's the history of this house? They must have sold it at some point, right? Has it always like been in the Borden family, or how did that work?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Right. You probably tried reading it on Wikipedia and you got sick.
I was reading it on Wikipedia and then all of a sudden my vision started going blurry and I had to go to the large text. Mm-hmm.
'Cause she got out. She wasn't convicted, right? They're like, a woman couldn't convict of murder.
Yeah, I'm a little man.
And then she like lived there for the rest of her life.
This is why I think I'm the guest and not the co-host, because I think if I was the co-host, I would have like brushed up on the research before I came over here. Got off scot-free. There are a few different theories as to who may have done it. I think it was like her uncle or something.
She totally
like that.
Did it though, right?
I mean, it seems like it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think just based on my memory of the story and all that, like when she quote unquote discovered the body, she like called to the maid and was like, somebody's killed Papa or something like that. And it's like, okay, so you just immediately know it was a murder, but you weren't the one who did it?
Well, I mean, his head was like bashed like in. I feel like you would.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a picture of him like on the couch with his face like completely smashed in. I doubt that happens naturally. I don't think you're hanging a picture.
We don't know what angle she initially saw him from. I mean, they're still like, I mean, just because it happened so long ago, I think there's still a shred of plausible deniability, even though, like, yeah, she probably did it.
Yeah, yeah. So. Do you know anything about the Lizzie Borden killings, Ashley?
So, my to answer your question, I have heard of this. It sounds pretty familiar, but is this in Salem, or is this is outside of Salem?
This is outside of Salem, because we went to Salem on the same trip. Okay. This is at the very south end of Massachusetts in a town called Fall River.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds familiar because I was in Massachusetts in 2019 and we did a we were staying on the Cape and we did a day trip to Salem, and I feel like I heard of this house, but it wasn't something that I actually went to. And I wasn't sure if it was just one of the houses in Salem I didn't go to or if it was somewhere else. But yeah, I've definitely heard that, because I'm into all the like haunting stuff. I love this, is like I live for this topic. So when you said that you went there, I'm like, oh man, I bet. I mean, I bet there's been some experiences. And I also feel like that has been shown on like Ghost Hunters or stuff. I feel like this is a pretty famous house that like it's been on. Professional ghost hunters have like done video and stuff, and they've even gotten freaked out. So that's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, I think everybody who's anybody in the ghost hunting community has at least done an episode there.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll tell you why I know she's guilty. Have you seen her eyes? Have you looked at the photos with her eyes in them?
You know,
She
but
did
that could
it.
have just been life in the 1920s.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah, maybe, you know, but
I mean, because you ever look at photos
Anna Green Gables seemed to be doing fine.
you ever look at photos of what appears to be like an older gentleman in like that time, and then down below in like the info, it's like this is a 17-year-old.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
Yeah. My grandparents from like photos in the 90s of like going to Disney World with my grandparents,
yeah,
who
I
were
mean.
like, you know, 70 and looked like they were 114.
Yeah, I mean, and they were playing fast and loose with lead exposure back then.
Absolutely. They were like dipping their freaking popsicles in asbestos. I don't know why I
And
went to popsicles.
taking laudanum and morphine for headaches.
All right. Well, let's read a confession before we get to Ashley's experience. This is from Will Gardiner, Turnersville, New Jersey. My old Bible camp. I already had a ton of anxiety with my church upbringing, a ton, reiterated a ton, particularly that
That's two
demons
tongues.
would show up to scare me or harm me. Well, I went to that camp for many years, and there's one year our parents couldn't afford to send us. Allegedly, that year after the big Come to Jesus Mass, which really is every Mass, as far as I'm aware, they would have on
Jesus comes to you.
the penultimate day, a few kids saw demons everywhere when they went outside the church and started screaming. Allegedly, they sang praise songs and chased them off into the mountains. Not fair to the mountain folk. That story only increased my anxiety, I can imagine, especially any time I was back at camp. That's horrifying. I don't necessarily believe in demons, but I find them to be very scary.
Yeah, I think everybody who's grown up with even like a like on the periphery of religion is shaken to the core by demons, or anybody who's seen The Exorcist as a
Yeah,
kid.
They're just scary in general. I mean, like I was kind of religious growing up, but like it wasn't, you know, like evangelical like type of thing where, you know, demons are going to steal your soul. But I don't know. They're so, there's no reasoning with a demon. They're always assholes. You know what I mean? They're always like pure evil.
Yeah.
They're
it's
not,
like
they
the
never
whole
have a heart
deal.
of gold.
And
There's never like a redemption story.
they always know all your secrets.
There's no like scene where the demon like meets a blind man and the blind man doesn't pass judgment on him and they end up hanging out. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. They know. Yeah. They can get in your head and your psyche. What do you think of demons, Ashley?
Oh man. Well, demons are definitely, you know, the way that they are portrayed in religion, especially Christianity. I mean, I know that they pop up in pretty much all other religions that I've researched. I can't say for sure every religion that's existed, but they seem to be pretty one-dimensional, meaning like they're always evil, or that they're, you know, gonna get you, a fear-based tactic or tool, if you will.
As a you're a fairly religious person, right, Ashley?
Spiritual.
Let me
Not
ask,
religious, but
but
yeah.
you know about like Christianity, right?
Oh yeah.
Is there any story like in the Bible or in any Christian lore where like a demon has like a redemption kind of thing?
No, not as far as a demon being redeemed, but the original, well, the mainstream. I grew up Protestant. And the Protestant side of Christianity is really what I can only speak to. How I have understood it is that redemption, not so much for demons, but that they originally were angels, and Satan was originally like the top musician angel dude. So here's it's the, wait, a lot here's
the,
of fear.
He was the band leader of the Angels?
Yeah, man.
What?
He was the band really? Leader, which is why, yeah. That's
he was the Paul Schaefer?
Say,
yes.
He was a Tito Fuente.
Yeah, and they say that, like, and that's like a scare tactic.
And then
it's
he got
like,
his own spin-off.
Don't be listening to the devil's music. That's why secular music is so good, because, you know,
right.
I mean, I could go off on that rabbit hole. But yeah, so really, the demon is all about how, well, humanity has original sin, so like let's redeem you lest you become demon and not be redeemable type thing. So yeah, I don't know of any lore where a demon gets redeemed,
right.
But it is the inverse that they, hey, look at what happened to them, that can happen to you kind of thing. So
yeah,
I feel like there are movies. I feel like there's I vaguely remember like a Brendan Fraser movie.
You're thinking of Encino Man?
I don't think there were any demons in Encino Man.
Yeah, but I have demons about Encino Man.
yeah, it's pretty freaky stuff.
There's a Brendan Fraser movie where he was like redeemed as a demon?
No, like there's a demon in it. Is it Bedazzled?
Yeah. Bedazzled.
Yeah, have any demons been bedazzled? Where they're decorated with beads.
What was Bedazzled? I don't know that one.
That's
that infomercial in the 90s.
Yeah, where they like decorate stuff with beads. You ever heard of, never mind. I was going to say Bedazzle Bub. I was going to try to think of Beazzle Bub.
That's filled with demons, man. That infomercial.
Bedazzle Bub.
So I want to see that happen. Man. That could become like a new gay icon.
Sure. Absolutely. So what happened in that movie, Marco?
I don't remember. Brendan Fraser made a deal with the devil or something like that.
Okay.
And the devil was played by Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Is this ringing a bell to anybody?
I think maybe
I can't remember the last time I saw Encino Man.
I want to say there was some sort of demon redemption arc in there.
Right. Okay. Well, there should be. Kind
of The Mummy a little bit, right?
The Mummy.
That's a Brendan Fraser movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like a demon kind of mummy spirit that
Imhotep.
Was redeemed. Yes. Imhotep.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He got his groove back.
He got his groove back. The Pharaoh's new groove.
Oh, man. That was a good movie, though.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think I've ever seen any of The Mummies.
Dude, it's good.
Really?
And we should do an episode on it because it's good horror comedy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like fun horror action.
Perfect
kind of stuff.
Combination of horror comedy.
Yeah. Right? Weirdly, 1999 was one of like the greatest years in like movie history, and that was one of them. Like an absolute banger. It was action.
It was like the worst
horror.
Year for music.
Yes, that is true. But yeah, Mummy is like action, horror, comedy, schlock. Like it's the perfect blend of everything.
That was the year I graduated high school, and I remember the Star Wars film coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Hollow Man.
Yeah, and Titanic. Titanic was
no
99.
Titanic
was
like 97, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, Hollow, was Hollow Man was 99 though.
Yeah, because my ex-girlfriend wanted to go see it for some reason. I don't know why.
Mm. Kevin Bacon.
A severe lack of Kevin Bacon, if the title is to be believed.
That is true.
All right, you guys. This one is from Shell Parker, Shoalhaven. Wait, no, we were gonna get to Ashley's confession next.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
We were.
It's okay. I'll just wait.
All right, one more, and then we'll get to Ashley's. This one is from Shell Parker, Shoalhaven, Australia. I believe our first confession from Australia. Don't quote me on that, mate.
Crikey.
Can you remember if we've ever had an Australian confession, Jimmy?
For some reason, I feel like we may have.
Oh, well, all right.
May have been a Sheila. I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay. Dead Man's Domain is what Shell says, not far from where I live. My brother and I went there for a walk once just before dark. It's like a clearing surrounded by bushland. Got a lot of that down in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
There have long been stories about how you feel you are being watched there. It's a strange sensation, like there are thousands of pairs of eyes staring at you. We heard strange thumping noises and decided to leave. I've tried to find information about the history of the place, but no luck so far. That's all a spooky location. This is a spooky location. Well, it is called Dead Man's. What was it? Dead Man's Domain.
Wow.
Sounds inviting.
Yeah.
Lizzie Bordenhouse at Dead Man's Domain. So being watched, the sensation. I don't know if I've ever really felt that. It sounds very spooky.
Yeah.
But I don't. A lot of people talk about that sensation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You ever had that, Marco?
Yes.
What's that feel like to you?
I mean, it just...
I definitely have never felt the sensation of being listened to as far as this podcast goes.
It's just a generally, like, it's like a situation where you just, like, can't not be a little bit anxious and you have no idea why, but it doesn't feel like normal anxiety. It just feels like...
It's like social anxiety when there's no one there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is a little bit like that. So, if you want, I can talk about another of, like, the creepiest locations I've ever visited. This is a pretty quick one.
Okay. Well, let's save that one for the end.
Okay, sure. But that involves a feeling of being watched.
Okay, awesome. Ashley, do you ever have that feeling of being watched?
Yeah, I have. In different places, I've definitely had a sense of not being alone or that I'm being observed. It feels to me the same energy as it does when I feel like someone's looking at me in a room and somebody is. Like, it's the same actual feeling. Yeah.
I'm way too self-consumed to, like, think about things like that, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even notice if someone's looking at me because I just think about myself all the time.
Well, maybe because I'm also self-consumed, I just assume people are.
You just assume you're being watched all the time.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. Like, maybe that's ghosts, what it really is.
I'm like saying. The ghosts think you're so important.
Everybody's looking at me.
But have you ever been, like, in a location where you feel that?
Like a scary location?
Well, I think it would be scary by necessity.
Yeah.
By definition. Yeah.
No, definitely have had that. I had that a lot when I was at Salem. Right. And then this last 2 weekends ago, my partner and I went to Jekyll Island, which is, I had no idea, one of the most haunted islands, they say, arguably, in the world. And I had not a clue. I just wanted to go because it was close and pretty. Oh,
cool. Sure.
So, well, yeah, I've definitely been walking around places feeling like that.
This is in Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. It's Jekyll Island, Georgia. It's about... From us, about 2 hour drive.
Right next to Hyde Peninsula.
Mm-hmm. What's Mr. Hyde Peninsula to you?
Yeah.
That was a terrible joke. All right, well, tell us about yours. No, I was talking about my joke. Yours was fine.
Oh, well, mine was connected to yours, so by association, we both suck.
This also implies that an island got its doctorate, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
Dr. Pepper and Mr. Pibb. That's the most delicious version of Dr. Jekyll. Ashley, please rescue us from this horrible bit that we're doing and tell us.
Sure, yeah, happy tell to. Us about, I don't know how much.
you probably can't take much more of it anyway. And please tell us about your spooky location recently.
Yeah, so the most recent location was my partner and I. We went to Jekyll Island and we stayed at Jekyll Island Resort. And if you look that up, again, I did not know any of the history of this island. We were brainstorming weekend getaways before life gets busy and we were going to go to the mountains. And she said, "Hey, have you ever been to Jekyll?" And I said, "No." And, you know, off season. And I looked and I said, "Well, let's stay at this resort." And apparently, you know, the island and then this resort is one of the most haunted places. And I did not know. I was so excited when I found out. And we definitely had, I mean, we definitely had a ghost in the room. And she's not, I mean, she's spiritual, but as far as, like, ghosts and hauntings and the supernatural and experiences, I would say that I'm more of that than she is. And it was just pretty funny to see her notice things that were definitely of the metaphysical occurring.
Yeah.
But yeah, we stayed at this resort. It originally was the building for the Jekyll Island Club, which was founded by people like the Vanderbilts. And so it was very exclusive. And then in 1987, it became a hotel. And the movie, what is that with Will Smith? The Legend of, who was that?
I Am Legend?
Badger Vance.
I Am Legend of Badger Vance.
Yeah, something like that. I think that they filmed it
the
there.
Last the Last Golfer on Earth.
Yeah, actually, Stephen Pressfield wrote that book, who I like a whole lot and want to get on the podcast.
Stephen Pressfield.
But, I mean, you could just definitely walk in around the hotel. I mean, it's old and the island and the town. I mean, I knew, like, right away when we got in there, I'm like, okay, it feels, there's some different energy here.
Right.
And we went on a carriage ride and we had a family, it was Jessica and I, and then a family got in this carriage, and the tour guide was, you know, talking about, you know, the different landmarks that you would see, and the horse was neighing at something that wasn't there, refused to walk. He's like, why isn't this horse walking? And I
Whoa.
looked at Jess and I'm like, he sees something in that house.
Oh my God.
And then it turns out that the house around the corner was a house where, and I forget, I want to say one of the Vanderbilts, but it might have been another family's child died in a fire.
Oh.
And then after that happened, they built this crazy like fire escape contraption ramp that wrapped around the whole house, and the horse just wouldn't walk. And we had a light in our hotel room that was just flickering on and off.
Right.
And she's like, Ashley, stop messing with the light. And I said, what are you talking about? And she's like, seriously, stop messing with the light.
Oh,
like, I know you're
God.
Doing something. And I said, Jess, I'm definitely not.
Stop
when
clapping.
She realized, yeah, when she realized that I wasn't, I just looked at the light and it was going on, off. On off, and I said, "Oh, we have a ghost in the room. That's fine." And she just looks at me. She's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you're cool with that." And then I said, "I'm sure it doesn't feel like a malevolent spirit."
Right.
And then it stopped. But
yeah.
she that really shook her.
Yeah. Wow. So going back to the horse, I do feel like that could be a good way to get around just like having a shitty horse. You know, if you're like, or you're not good at like horsing, like just being like, "Oh, there's a ghost."
Really tuned in,
right? You see, like somebody died there. And I think that's why he's not working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what?
No.
Definitely. I mean,
no, that's super.
She's not normally like this. You caught him on an off day.
Wow.
Also, he loves to mess with the lights for some reason. So if that happens to him, it's just the horse.
Right. So what do you think is the Vanderbilt paranormal connection here? Were they spooky like that?
Well, the thing about this island is that there's a lot of history there. And with the Jekyll Island resort, it was originally, like I said, the Jekyll Island Club. And if you go, if I take a step back and you really, and this is where I kind of went down the rabbit hole, people like to talk about evil or bad energy or like the Illuminati or like these powerful, wealthy families in America and all these rabbit holes with that.
Right.
And so what I found really fascinating when I, because you know me, Mike, I'll Google and read and just, I've got to know.
Sure.
If somebody gives me anything like that, I'm like, I want to know more about
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Me too.
You know, so you heard of a little something called the Federal Reserve, right?
Yeah, yes, I have. I like their older stuff, but
yeah. So
they're much better live.
I didn't know this, but the Jekyll Island Club, that is where the idea came from.
What?
Was this, they basically sat around and were like, came up with this idea. And the story is that 2 weeks after pulling all nighters and having like meeting of the minds. And it was, first of all, the state of Georgia did not own this island. I forget when they bought it, but it wasn't even part of like the state of Georgia yet. It was just the only way to like really stay on this island and be a part of it is you had to almost be invited in. And it was one of those, you know, you hear about those islands where the wealthy live. This
Whoa.
Is kind of what they did. They would come down from New York and they would
really?
Summer.
Oh
and
my
so
God.
The, yeah. And so the story is that they brainstormed and they came up with this idea and they presented it to Congress, and that's how we have it now.
Really?
They, like, funded. And yeah. And so, you know, if you really, I mean, there's so much history with the colonies, and like when I was in Salem, like there's almost kind of a darkness with, you know, some of the, this is just my soapbox, but the planning and the power. And
sure.
So even if you're not
yeah.
really believing full send, like me with ghosts and stuff, you can't argue that there might not be some control or darker angles for,
yeah.
let's get like, together and plan the Federal
yeah,
Reserve.
Yeah, 16, 1700s. Yeah, what indigenous community are we going to wipe out to build this thing or that thing?
Exactly, exactly. Right. And so, if for me, it was really eye-opening to just go, wow, okay, you know, this used to be, and it still is, right? I mean, they have like resorts and you know, you go and you pay to even park on the island. It's beautiful, but there's so much just dark kind of like history where like, wow, like this is, you know, how much of this energy was really good?
Sure. Sure.
Some of this stuff.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. That's a lot of connections there, you know? You got, like,
yeah.
colonialism, you got the start of the Federal Reserve, you got ghosts, you got...
the ultra-wealthy.
The ultra-wealthy.
Thinking of things
Lots
together.
Lots of, yeah, private islands, you got everything. Let's read our third confession here, you guys. This one is from our friend Lucas Wingard from Albany, Georgia. I've been to Andersonville. It's known for being the location of a horrible prison camp used during the Civil War. So much death. Usually the deaths were related to a lack of safe drinking water. Sometimes the prisoners would resort to murdering one another out of desperation to take what they needed to live. They had a special fence inside the main walls called the Deadline. Guards were ordered to shoot anyone who crossed it. Andersonville. I remember seeing I think it was like a TV movie about Andersonville back in the day, and it seemed pretty horrifying, you know? Like, when we think about, like, death camps and stuff, we think about, like, other countries or whatever. Like, the Civil War was pretty horrific in a lot of those ways, too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember they said, like, they had to, like, you're never supposed to drink the drinking water that was there, like, in the stream or whatever, because it was just disgusting. Mm. And you had to, like, fill up your, I've always, like, wondered how they did this, but they're, like, fill up the sleeves of your uniform with water when it rains and save that.
Mm. I think they just kind of let their sleeve go out there and then it fills up with water, right? Like, absorbs it, and then you just wring it out into your mouth, filtered.
Is that how I'm picturing like a canteen made out of a sleeve, like tied at both ends somehow?
Oh, I was picturing a sleeve made out of a canteen. Like, that's probably the issue.
Canteen sleeves. Jeez. Oh man, yeah. I love that Irish folk song, "Canteen Sleeves."
Canteen sleeves was all.
Yeah. I guess I don't know, but why would you just use your sleeves then? Why not use everything? Like,
I don't know, man. It's the closest.
Yeah, why limit it? Why limit it at that point?
Right, exactly.
It was a Civil War, dude. Why would you have a death camp? You're worried about the sleeve water.
Well, that's, you know. Yeah,
I'm more concerned about the death camp.
have you ever been to the Museum of Civil War Medicine in Frederick?
No, it sounds horrifying.
It is. It's literally
just knives.
It's just whiskey bottles and saw blades.
Oh my God.
It's actually just a liquor store. But.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember, speaking of like spooky ass places, you know, the Constellation down in the harbor here in Baltimore, like the Civil War ship. That was the Civil War, right?
I believe so.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. That or the Revolutionary.
Oh, Revolutionary.
Wooden ship era.
Or 1812. Wooden ship
era. Yeah. Revolutionary War, was of like the Civil War prequel. War of 1812. Come on.
That was the big Baltimore one, because that was when they came into our harbor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where the national anthem was written.
Right, right. I don't even know what the War of 1812 was about.
It was the sequel to Revolutionary War.
Yeah, I've seen it in bits and pieces here and there. But
the Empire Strikes Back, if you will.
Right.
It's just about money and power.
Right.
Money and power. That's what they're all about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, there's the surgical room in the Constellation, the hospital or whatever, that gave me creepy ass vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why.
Probably because it's creepy.
Yeah. So tell us more about this museum.
That's pretty much it. Knives and
whiskey.
And a lot of like, mannequins with severed limbs.
Oh God. I am happy though that knives and whiskey reunited with Slash and Duff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Civil War surgery is like the most horrifying thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, Jimmy?
Oh, I was going to say, and they like avidly didn't, maybe this was right after that time, but at least maybe in the Revolutionary War, they like avidly didn't believe in germs and stuff like that back then. There was a guy who really tried really hard to be like, guys, no, it's not just bad smells. Like, they were kind of on it a little bit. Like, they understood that if something smelled bad, it was probably bad for you. And that's like because it's rotting from bacteria. They didn't get that thing. They were like, there's microscopic stuff. They wouldn't wash the tables. They wouldn't wash the equipment. You would just want a bloody knife you used to cut off somebody else's.
It's probably like sacrilegious or something, you know?
Yeah, they just didn't buy it. So it was, people died so often after surgery.
I think most of them, like anybody who survived, they like survived accidentally by drinking so much that they accidentally like sterilized their wounds.
That's why I'm still here, baby.
I wonder like what happens if you're like a sober alcoholic in the Civil War and you get like a leg blown off? Like, does it count as a relapse if you drink whiskey?
You're back on the wagon for sure. Or off the wagon.
Whatever. Well, I mean, it's not so bad to get on the wagon when you can't walk, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
at that point, it's like, Ashley,
that was a bad one.
Do you have any like spooky Civil War stuff down there in Georgia? There's got to be a lot, right?
Oh my God. So the Civil War, so in the Deep South, you know, the Civil War, there's a lot of history. It's just, I won't go down the political rabbit hole, but I think it's just, you know, it's just, I feel like it's more talked about. Right. Like if you want to go down the history rabbit hole down here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I, As far as like museums and stuff, I mean, it's just mostly you can, especially where we live, you can just drive around and see the old plantations. You know, maybe they're like subdivisions now or some of the old plantation houses, a lot of cotton fields and stuff like that. And there is a lot of history, especially if you research, you know, Atlanta or like even Savannah and stuff like that. And this is just a really rich area and just kind of, I feel like a crossroads. It's just so much history with Revolutionary War and then Civil War. And then you even have like a lot of dark stuff that happened with, you know, the Great Depression. And especially after the Civil War, just all the fallout that the different states had, you know, anyway. I mean, when they lost and their whole, a lot of things were imploded economically. So you have a lot of that type of energy that I think just kind of sticks around. But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
what
Civil War, it always fascinates me. I mean, I know this isn't really creepy, but the Civil War in general, I think, is creepy.
Oh
So
yeah, for sure.
Ken Burns' documentary on the Civil War, I mean, I love documentaries, and I know that you and I have talked about this, and I know he has a particular style, but especially when you both were talking about like amputation, because that really was what it was. Like, they didn't have a lot of, you know, until like the 1920s when they actually discovered, you know, bacteria and antibiotics. It was like that even into like the First World War. I think that was just medicine was really, it was just like best of luck. But Ken Burns did an outstanding job on the Civil War
Absolutely.
documentary. Yeah.
I always wonder, like, where did all these people that died come from back then? You know what I mean? It's like it was like thousands and thousands of people would like die in a Civil War battle. Like, where did they live before that? You know, like there wasn't like a whole lot of cities and stuff. Like, I feel like everybody just lived on these isolated farms and there's like 12 people in a town.
I mean, what, like farming families always had like 10 kids or something like that?
You just send like nine of them to war at any given time.
You ration
it's
a
it
few
just
of them.
seems like there wasn't enough people to have that much death around. You know what I mean? Just seems
Or
uneconomical to
maybe
me.
that's why we don't have a ton of people now. Maybe
Yeah.
in those areas, you know?
That is another thing. Whenever I like
Good
drive
point, yeah.
through, like, you know, when I'm like driving down to Virginia or something like that, like, and they're always like, oh, there's only 20,000 people in this town or something like that. I'm like, where the hell are they? I see like, you know, a gas station and a McDonald's and
Yeah,
like,
even 20,000 sounds like generous, you
right,
know? You're
right,
like,
exactly.
one gas station?
It's
For
weird.
sure.
Yeah, the sheets slash town hall.
Jimmy, do you have any spooky locations you'd like to tell us about? Would you like
Spooky
to share with the rest of the class?
locations. That's a good question.
He's just thinking about it now.
I wasn't expecting to get asked, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't tell you beforehand either.
No, it's all good. I mean, I've done some abandoned house hopping and stuff. Like, there's that, what's that place down in Howard County? That like entire, like, what do we call it? What's the
Hell
word?
House.
Hell, well, there's, yes, Hell House is one of them. Didn't we?
Somebody mentioned that on the Facebook page.
Actually, I'm pretty sure Kayla, one of the co-hosts, former co-hosts of this podcast, and like when I was dating my girlfriend, Ricky, and whatever. For whatever reason, I feel like I went to Hell House with Kayla and some other people
Really?
way back when.
Weird.
And I don't know. There's something about, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, I get spooked out from those places, those like abandoned places, for like the less cool reasons, like more realistic reasons. Like, I don't worry
Don't want to
about
step
like,
on a nail or something, get a tetanus
yeah,
shot.
tetanus shot. No, I'm like, okay, there realistically could just be some like insane person that just like squats here and kills me. Like, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about like a ghost necessarily.
Or even like an overzealous like property owner or like caretaker.
Or the cops. I mean, you're clearly trespassing.
A cop, a prospector. You have a goddamn property.
And if Scooby-Doo is any indication, they're the guys dressing up like monsters.
They
and
are
whatnot.
The guys. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is something creepy just to think that those places existed. I don't know. That's a good question. I should have thought about it. Don't you think I should have thought about it?
Oh man. All right. Well,
Man.
Marco, did you want to share your other story about your other creepy place?
So I grew up in Germantown, which is like right at the like when I was growing up, that was kind of like the edge of the suburbs, like going into like, you know, Frederick and like heading towards the mountains and all that. And so right at the edge of Germantown was a little town called Boyds. I don't know why I said that in the past tense. It's still there.
Boyds.
Boyds. B-O-Y-D-S.
Yeah. See, that sounds like a Sheets gas station.
Yes.
You would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my wife and I, when we were like first dating, we love to just like drive the back roads and you know, find the weird spots around there. So there was this little teeny tiny church, like almost like a shack of a church. And it had a little like cemetery beside it. And so one night we were out there and like we just stopped to like check it out, take some photos and all that kind of stuff. And it was like in the summertime, so it like, you know, normally you're hearing all sorts of like nocturnal creatures like buzzing about and all that. But I didn't notice until we had already been there for a little while. Like I was getting the feeling like I was being watched, but also there were no animal sounds at all. It was like,
oh, it eerie, went silent.
Yeah, eerie silent. Yeah,
like, I've heard that before.
Like they cleared out.
Like I think in Vietnam that would happen for like 20 minutes every night for some reason in the jungle. I think that's like a thing that happens sometimes.
There'd like, just be dead silence, like not a sound.
Yeah, the animals just shut the fuck up for a little while. I don't know why.
20 minutes.
I mean, that's a phenomenon.
Yeah, in nature, it's like when a, you know, a predator, like an apex predator is going through.
Yeah, maybe it's to like mourn, you know.
Moment of silence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. Everybody's like quiet when the predator comes through.
Well, yeah. And so like, I think we were
like
only.
If a shark is like going through the jungle.
Yeah. They're like, what?
He's cruising through.
How's he doing that?
So we were.
It's a rainforest.
Yeah.
So we were only there for like 15 minutes, and then we both got really creeped out and left. And we're driving. I think back towards my parents' house, and I just started feeling like really weak, and I was gonna pass out. Mm. Like it wasn't even like sick or
was it the same feeling
like
as you got at the Borden place?
No,
different feeling.
Just like completely drained of my energy, and it was very strange. Like we got back to the house and we're sitting on the couch. I think it's only like 10 or 11, and this is, you know, when I'm on average staying up till like 2 or 3 every night.
Yeah,
and we're sitting on the couch, like talking about what just happened, and I'm like nodding out, like as we're trying to talk, and I can like barely hold my head up. So
did you eat at Sheets that night? Because that's what I get. Okay, just checking.
No, if I eat at Sheets, I have trouble sleeping at all.
Oh, okay. I'm the opposite. I can't move afterward.
No, I mean, I always load up on like sugar at Sheets. So
okay, I'll tell you what I do is those hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
They get you with those hot dogs, like 2 for $1 or so.
Yeah,
we're doing like $19.90 prices.
You're
at
losing money not eating a Sheets hot dog.
We can't afford not to eat a Sheets.
Can't save
money
as we speak. But yeah, so I fell asleep for the night and I slept for like 16 hours.
Whoa.
And I'm lucky if I sleep like 8 hours. On average, I feel like I sleep like 7 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I slept for like 16 hours, and then the whole next day I was like struggling to stay awake. Like I think I took a nap in the middle of the day, and it was kind of like that for like the next 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess the paranormal explanation for that would be that like something latched onto me and was like draining me to
right.
You know, power itself up or something like that.
Sure.
I don't really, you know, I don't know that much about human biology, so I don't know what else it was. So and that makes for a better story. So
absolutely.
That definitely makes the most sense, I would say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're playing by Andersonville rules when everything was like, you know,
yeah,
the demons, not
you're being your life force is being drained by a demon.
Yeah. So I sort of became like a spiritual Capri Sun.
spiritual Capri Sun. Man, there was never enough juice in the Capri Sun. Those things were designed just to make you like
to make you want to
unsatisfied. Yeah, just enough to get you excited. They always
and teach you how to shank somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 For sure. Did you like Capri Sun, Ashley?
Man, I love Capri Sun, but it does not. I mean, I need to drink like a whole
like when you buy the box.
Like, I used to box. Yeah, as a child, you know what we should do? We should go buy mass quantities of the things that we could never eat and drink enough of as children and just enjoy that. You know, like those squirt, those like Kool-Aid squirt things or whatever.
They still have them, right?
Yeah, we go buy a six, we each get a six pack each. Yeah. Oh yeah, the little barrel things that like made me cough for some reason.
Mondos,
remember those?
Mondos.
Probably something in the plastic being funky.
Did you guys like have stuff? That?
Yeah.
The stupid barrel drinks. Didn't they make you cough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? What other beverage makes you cough?
That's which is not funny because
they're called Huggies, right?
Yeah.
Huggies.
And it kind of looked like cough syrup just without the active ingredient.
Right.
That's why they took out the dextromethorphan and you just start coughing. It has the opposite effect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. So there's dextromethorphan than every other beverage that doesn't make you cough.
Yeah.
You got to put it in. Oh, man. Ashley, you have any more stories for us about spooky places?
I mean, I will say, like, I mean, I have a lot. I mean, this is like my favorite topic, one of my favorite topics. But when I was in Salem, I experienced a physical reaction. You know, we talk about like what you might feel or see, but like as far as like getting tired, that was mentioned, I got headaches. Walking in and out of certain houses and places in Salem that day. I remember going back because it was where the cottage that we were staying at was a couple hours away from Salem and we just did a day trip. Mm-hmm. But I remember on the drive back, I was just having like the worst headache that I had in a while. And it just was like, where did this come from?
Right.
And it like struck and like, you know, there's always, you could reason it out and say, well, maybe this is why, but I feel like it had something to do with the energy was so heavy. And there's just so much sadness there that I'm like, okay, you know, energy doesn't just disappear. Like it's always in motion. So my explanation is, well, that energy had to go somewhere. Right. And I think that, that can really play a part in how we feel. Like
just driving
energy
through Cockeysville gives me a headache.
Oh, man, thinking about Cockeysville and York Road is giving me a headache right now. Like,
I mean, there's plenty of creepy stuff about Loch Raven.
Oh, that's actually how Jimmy and I first bonded.
Yeah.
We thought it this is so weird. We're talking about
creepy
like
stuff at Loch Raven.
Well, not even so much creepy stuff, but just the existence of the Loch Raven cliffs themselves.
Yeah, the cliffs.
Like we both had like been in high school around here, always hearing about the cliffs, and neither of us had ever seen any evidence of them actually existing.
Or figured out how to get there or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we concluded it was actually just because we were both losing.
Right.
Well, did it used to be cliffs? Because there's like a town that's submerged.
That's
Warren, Maryland.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the spooky thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know about that, Ashley?
I don't think I do.
Tell her, Jimmy.
So when they made Loch Raven Reservoir, they just did that by damming up the Gunpowder River. And they did so by there was a town there, town of Warren, Maryland. And I can't remember, I think this was in the 1850s or something.
I feel like it was later than that.
It was
like
probably later.
20s or 30s
it, yeah, it wasn't like that long ago. It might have been in the 20s or whatever. And when there is enough of a drought and it hasn't rained long enough, will the Loch Raven Reservoir will go down far enough where you can actually see the tip of a church steeple. But there's a whole, it is creepy because there's just trees under there and buildings and everything under there. And that's why it's so dangerous to swim there too, because like you just have like rotting trees from underneath that like will catch you and stuff. Like the fact that there is just under that water and like, you know, around here, like you can't see underwater.
An old Kenny Rogers Roasters sign just still buzzing away down there.
It would be amazing like if we were the Bahamas and we had that like super crystal clear water and you could just swim around and look down and see a town.
Right.
But instead, it's creepier because it's like that.
Absolutely.
Just
that's why Beaver Dam freaks me out.
Yeah.
Have you been there, Marco?
It's like 100 feet or something.
Yeah. And there's no like incline. You just go straight down.
It's just a giant
And it's full of like old like construction equipment from the 20s.
Yeah.
When it flooded. Do you know that place, Ashley?
Yeah, I do. I know what you're talking
about. It's in Cockeysville.
Absolutely. Yeah, it should be really fun, but it's just scary.
Yeah.
And then when I was in high school, somebody like disappeared from there and they didn't know if she drowned or she like left or like what the hell happened. Yeah. And they found her body like in a net, like underwater.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's like a big like crater in the ground basically where they were like digging out a million years ago. Mm-hmm. And then it just suddenly started filling up with water and they had to like abandon all their equipment. And now it's like a fun swim club.
Are there fish in Beaver Dam? Like
yeah,
how
there
do
are
fish
somehow
get there?
There
how
are
do they get there?
Well, I think they they probably came from wherever the water came from, like the, whatever stream like connected.
I thought it was just rain.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
No, that would take a lot of rain.
Okay.
No, it definitely, I mean, they wouldn't have left all their shit down there too if it was rain.
True.
It's not like, I mean, we have to be like a biblical.
That's a lot of rain.
Right.
Guys, we probably should get on this. It's been 40 years. Let's park it somewhere else.
Well, yeah, it's like there's something about water that deep is just not. And it's like, isn't that just
someone
like
getting billed hourly? It's like, yeah, no, I'll get it eventually.
Oh, yeah. Get that net out of here, by the way.
Yeah, and somehow to me, there's just sharks in there somehow. I don't know how.
I've been swimming in there. I don't even know if I've been swimming in there. But I'm glad that whoever brought this up, because that to me is the thing that spooks me out the most. Confined, enclosed, like just being in super deep water is a crazy feeling. Mm-hmm. When you recognize that there's like 80 feet below you, like if you go out to the middle of the Chesapeake Bay and just like jump off the boat, like it's, in theory, it's not that dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are sharks in the bay and there's whales, beluga whales and stuff that go up there, but like that, it's not really that dangerous, but just the concept of 80 something feet of water below you.
Yeah, deep water is terrifying.
Scary.
And like when you go, like you jump in and you go extra deep and it's like cold, you know, you get like that chilly, like deep water. It's scary.
That is my wife, who is not afraid of anything, that is her deepest fear.
Really?
It's just deep water that, whether she can see
there needs to be
not.
More deep water horror films, in my opinion.
Yeah. Deep Rising. Deep Rising was a good one.
Deep Rising.
That was the same dude who did The Mummy.
Oh, okay.
It's a good one.
There is a film, I don't think it was very good, but the concept is terrifying, of, I think it was called like So Many Feet Below or something, where like a cage, like
literary classic 20,000 Leagues Below.
I think it was like Mandy Moore or something, but the concept is horrifying. It's like they're in like
Mandy
one of those
Moore
diving cages.
Into the Blue? Was it Into the Blue?
No.
Jessica Alba?
Something deep or below or something like that.
A Dive to Remember.
Can I explain the freaking premise to this, please? Sometime this year.
Ocean's 12.
You had something to say. No.
You know those cages you go down into to check out the sharks?
Yeah.
Safely within your cage. It like breaks off and falls to the seabed. And they're stuck there. And there's sharks outside.
Wow.
That's a spooky ass plot.
Yeah, there's nothing good about that scenario.
Right. We kind of forgot about Titanic. That is technically deep water horror. That's kind of what makes the movie so scary, right?
They all floated.
Yeah, I know, but like the movie wouldn't have been nearly as scary if it was on land.
If it was in like 10 feet, if the boat crashed on land. Yeah, that's true.
And it just sank, and they're like, wait,
that's,
Jack.
That's billionaire horror.
You just walk away.
The priceless diamond over the edge at the end.
Great, I mean, the deep water is what makes it scary, for sure.
What do you think, Ashley, about deep water?
Man, deep water, I mean, every time I was, as you were all talking about being afraid of deep water, it reminded me of when I went to Europe. We went at night, and so we're flying over the Atlantic Ocean, and I remember just sitting in the plane like, okay, I'm looking out the window, and it's just nothing but darkness.
Right.
And I'm in this airplane, and it's the airplane, and then it's cold, dark Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember just completely just like that scared the crap out of me. And there were other things that were freaky at the different places that we went to and the different, you know, countries. One of them was in Germany, which is an interesting story of the Neufenstein. I think I might have butchered that castle, which I can talk about. But just as far as what you were asking, yeah, I mean, if you really think about that, you're like, oh, okay, like that's what's happening right now. Like I'm in this plane and we're going over the ocean and we don't know. I mean, we don't really, space is cool and stuff. I love it. But like, we really have very little idea of what's in the ocean.
Right, right.
On this planet. And that is a whole nother thing.
It gets up to 6 miles deep, like as high up as planes fly at maximum altitude.
Right.
That's how deep the ocean is at its deepest point.
The Mariana Trench.
Yeah. Six miles, dude. We have no idea. Like, I mean, it's insane.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And deep sea creatures are horrifying too.
Mm-hmm. They really are. But the good news is they can't come up here because the pressure is so great down there that if they come up, they just explode. No, for real. It's true.
Yeah, I don't. Well, that sounds. That's why. What's it?
The blobfish, which always looks so gross in photos. Like if you see it down in the water where it's supposed to be, it looks like a normal fish.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand about those fish. Is like, why do they look so weird to us? Like, is it because we don't see them normally? Like. I mean, like, was evolution like humans don't need to see these, so we're just going to make them look super bizarre?
Yeah, kind of like when you don't expect to see anybody, so you put on your worst outfit. Right, for a day.
Exactly.
That was
what
God did at the bottom of the ocean. He's like, all right, whatever. We got to put something down here.
And or is that like our brains reacting? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ones that you don't see all the time are somehow like super alien to us.
Yeah, I mean, but objectively, there's some like the anglerfish that has a light bulb that hangs off the front of its head.
Right.
That's weird. Like, that's like, come on, that's objectively.
I know. Like, I've heard recently they can get Wi-Fi too.
Like, that's objectively weirder than like a leopard.
I remember always seeing photos of the anglerfish and thinking that they were like the size of a basketball or something like that. They're way bigger than
that.
Are
they really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How big are they?
Like, I think some of them can be like half the size of a car or something like that.
No way. Yeah. Can they eat you?
I mean,
you're
toast
you're
if you're down there.
They don't eat people, though, I'm sure.
No.
People make it down there.
You have long since imploded if you're down where they are.
Right. Yeah. But theoretically, could one eat you?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
In theory, like if you were still alive.
Or dead.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
Right. If I'm already exploded, eat my exploded body.
Imploded.
Imploded.
Yeah, it's just eating human extract.
Yeah, I guess at that.
That's like the espresso of.
You literally would be.
Consumption.
You'd be compressed to like a crazy. I mean, like think about that submersible that they went down to go see the Titanic. Like that thing has so much, and that pressure under there still broke through. Like the amount of pressure that it's probably like multiple thousand, tens of thousands of pounds of pressure.
See, I don't know if I believe that.
Really,
it's just water. Come on, it's water.
One bottle of water is 8 pounds.
And I think I've disproved that theory.
Well, you're right. I'm going to go back to the drawing board and re-examine my whole life.
All right, you guys. Any last thoughts we would like to put forth on the topic of spooky locations? Going once, going twice. Guys, this has been an excellent episode of the Confessional Podcast. Thank you so much. Ashley, great to see you as always. Thank you, Marco.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, Jimmy.
Ashley, it was great to meet your digital avatar.
Yes.
It was awesome to meet you. I had a great time. This was a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah. Great episode. All right. We will see everybody next time on The Confessional.